Blog Talk Radio.
This is Busted Pencils Radio. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jed Hopkins. Now, let's bust some pencils.
Okay, welcome to Busted Pencils Radio. Sorry about the little bit of bumpiness there. We got a lot of people on the bandwidth, as they would say, Jed. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Today is Wednesday, August 19th, 2015. August 19th, 2015. Today I signed something August 19th, 2020. Okay, so where is my head?
It's the stress.
It's the stress because of you, too, yeah. Trying to reassign you your coursework out there. Hey, we got a great show this evening. Again, live from Michelangelo's. If you're in the area, make sure you stop down for some coffee. Make sure you stop down for some great conversation. We've got trending news. We've got our main interview here talking with Wisconsin principals. And, of course, at the end of the evening, we end with our tool of the week. And that's always that special one person that gets all the love. Oh, that
wonder who it will be.
Busted Pencils here. But, Jed, I got two Busted Pencils, fully leaded, trending news, sound effect one, boom. Okay. What's the worst job in public school, in a public school?
School nurse.
Could be the school nurse. However, according to at least some people, it's the assistant principal. Okay. But hey, a new article in NPR, coming out of NPR, National Public Radio, the toughest job in education might be the assistant principal. However, we might need to rethink that because if we look at the assistant principal for where they are, these are the people that are hopefully going to be the next leaders in schools. And principals set the tone, and research has been has really showed that a principal can really make or break a school.
You mean the assistant principal is in a kind of an apprenticeship position?
Right, as opposed to that person who does everything the principal doesn't want to do.
Right.
So we've seen the stereotypical assistant principal out there doing lunch duty, taking kids by the hair, calling, doing all of those things. What about instead doing something different? Well, that's what's happening in Prince George's County, Maryland. They've taken the assistant principal position down there at Prince George's County, Maryland School District and said, wait a minute, these are our next instructional leaders. Let's take this very seriously.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, if you think about it, the assistant principal should be part of the culture of the school in helping nurture the culture of the school, right? And not simply the person who does all the dirty work.
Right. So, I mean, there's a great picture there. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because, again, we're trending news, but go to npr.org. Toughest job in education, but rethinking it, the assistant principal, this is not that person. We need to start imagining, in fact, that...
Could they be instructional leaders, even?
That's a question that we may have to go forward and ask. In fact, trending story number two, boom, there's that sound effect that we want. When we get more money in this high-budget show, we'll have a sound effect and go, boom,
okay.
Trending story number two. Wisconsin principals.
Yes.
Like the principal, have you heard of the Wisconsin principals?
The Wisconsin, that's very ambiguous, Tim.
Well, yeah, first thing is, what do I mean? Principal, P A L P L E. We're talking about the Wisconsin principals. News out of Wisconsin, in fact, highlighted by Valerie Strauss last week in the answer sheet in the Washington Post. 35+ principals in Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin, got together, wrote a letter of concern directly to Governor Walker. And
I didn't know they could write letters.
Let's be easy on principals, okay? Do we have principals on this show? Actually, we are going to have a principal on the show, but let's just explain a little bit about the letter first.
Yeah.
This letter was actually crafted about a month ago.
It took 36 of them to write it.
It took 36 different principals to write the principal letter to Governor Walker. but it's made national news. And what I like about this is the fact that when Valerie Strauss picks up a story and runs it, the ability now to actually amplify the message. So our special for this show, so going right out of trending news and right into the main show, there were 35 signatures to that. We have one. Not the signature, the person who made the signature.
With a pen.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
In fact, welcome to the show, Principal of Oregon High School, Jim Pliner. Jim, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
So listen, so you wrote, you and your colleagues wrote a letter to Governor Walker. Simple question right off the bat. I mean, can you lay out for us, what are the main points? What did you want to get across?
Sure. The architect behind this separation was Mark Rollinson, who's principal of Jefferson High School in Wisconsin, and did a fantastic job really connecting with a bunch of us that were having similar concerns and experiences over the course of time. And the letter itself is addressed to Governor Walker and the Wisconsin State Legislature, and it was sent about mid-July. And really the tone of the letter is a respectful request to collaborate with our state legislature around issues that are confronting our public schools. We've got a rich tradition of public schools that have served our communities well here for many, many years, and we certainly are committed. We want to protect and expand those rights to high-quality public education for every single Wisconsin student. And so we have been concerned, and this letter really voices that collective concern, the vision for our schools in the future, and the impacts that the budgets have had on our ability to deliver.
Well, yeah, let's point this out. So obviously you guys are saying there's something not currently favorable working towards our public schools. I mean, the positions, this is what pushed you to write the letter.
That's correct.
You just didn't say, hey, you know, thanks for being real supportive of us. Things have been awesome. Can you help things make more? I mean, things have been tough.
And I mean, principals don't just write letters unless they really have to, right?
Well, and they right.
Well, we all would rather be talking about teaching and learning. And this time of year, we're really focused on hiring, focused on filling our buildings with quality individuals who are going to serve our kids. And you're right, and this is a group of high school principals from southern Wisconsin, and for those of us that are from Dane County, we've experienced tight budgets, but that pales in comparison with some of the concerns that are felt in other parts of the state that don't currently have student populations that are growing, and the issues that have been in place over the course of time since revenue cap and post Act 10 really have led to cuts to staffing levels, cuts to programming across the state, reduction in financial compensation for all staff within the schools. And, unless you're in a community that can really support and I'm very fortunate to be working in Oregon, which has been a highly supportive community, but communities are relying on referendum to you've got to pass a referendum to exceed the revenue limits, to do things like attend to maintenance projects, to build buildings, and that creates a system of haves and have-nots in areas of our state that can't get those things passed.
So, joking aside, I mean, being a principal, it's a tough job. You're thinking about the instructional integrity of the school, but you're also a manager. Mm-hmm. You've also got to manage budgets. And that's really tough. It's always tough. This is nothing new, though, is it? So for this letter to have been written, I'm sensing that things are a little bit different in terms of the kinds of challenges that you're being set currently. Is that fair?
Well, I think it's really a great job, and every single person in this who signed on to this letter really serve their communities and really love the jobs that we do and want to lead with integrity and want to put great products out for our students and serve our staff well. I think we are concerned that, we're concerned that, you know, the time to talk is now. The time to talk isn't 5 years from now. We're also concerned about just the long-range economic impact on young students as they choose their career paths. You know, the quality of our schools really boil down to the quality of the people that we're able to attract and retain to the profession and to develop into assistant principals and instructional leaders beyond that. But the quality of people that we are able to attract and retain, there's a lot of data that indicate that that is in jeopardy. You know, the enrollment in education programs and state colleges across the university system are down. And
private colleges, too.
And so we are concerned about that because, it's not atypical for me to post a position years past and draw a great number of applicants, and I'm beginning to see, you know, a reduction. We're still attracting high-quality folks, but we have some teachers that haven't been able to, and staff in general, who have not seen much of a pay increase in the last 5 years or so.
So when I look down the list of signatories on this thing, is it 35 or 36? I mean, that's not a big number. You think of the number of principals in the state, but it's a significant number. And looking at this list, some of these districts, they're pretty varied, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, we're not talking, this is a bipartisan, would you say?
It is. We've got, it's Southern Wisconsin area principals, but it is not an exhaustive list. This really was something that took shape over email, and Madison principals were not, I believe, a piece of the invite. And I know many people who would have wanted to sign on and after the fact wish they would have known something about it. It is, you know, it's a very group. There are, bipartisan is certainly accurate.
Just to check in to make sure everybody realizes this, you are listening to Busted Pencils Fully Lettered Education Talk live from Michelangelo's Coffee House down on the Capitol, Madison, Wisconsin. We're talking to Jim Pliner, principal of Oregon High School, talking about the Wisconsin Principal's Letter, the letter that was featured in Valerie Strauss, Washington Post, national publication, the idea here we're going forward. You know, we also, one of the great things about doing the show here at Michelangelo's is we have the opportunity sometimes for people to stop by and offer their own opinions. You know, we have the call-in. And again, if you're out there, too, I forgot to tell you, if you want to call in, it's 323-870-4076, 323-870-4076. But we do, and we are lucky that we have a few people here today. And, in fact, we have a teacher, Karen Veith. I'm not going to say what I wrote down there, that you're just a teacher.
Thank you. Thank you for not saying that.
Okay, I didn't want to say that. And I didn't want to say Jim's just a principal. You know, but you stopped by this evening. So I want to ask you, as a teacher, when you see the Wisconsin principals write a letter of concern, does that do anything for?
She's surprised.
The first thing I did when I saw that letter was scanned the list of principals, looking for my own principal, because it's my belief that every principal in the state should be signing on to letters like that. A decrease in funding, a decrease in localized control of education hurts our schools. It hurts our principals, our staff members, it hurts our students most of all. And what I have seen is this increased pressure, increased by strange evaluation systems, an increased emphasis on testing. And I've seen principals under a lot of stress, and that stress trickling down because we're trying to do more with less. And meanwhile, we have the public perception of education being inaccurate and disfavorable, where we are scapegoating our principals and our teachers to such an extent that we're looking at things like teacher shortages for the first time in a long time, at least in Wisconsin.
So, I mean, so you were surprised at first that the idea, or are you excited? I wanted to see, for me, I'm excited.
See, I love the idea, and there was an element of surprise only in that it takes courage and boldness to put your name on something right now that's seen as political, partially just because of this increased stress. But I think it's a great idea, And I think we need more action like that. Recently, I read the Racine School Board took a bold move and didn't show up to their meetings so they wouldn't have to vote
right.
on a handbook that wasn't fair to the staff. Things like that, when they get the public attention and we get names out there, they really show what's going on in this state and that it's bad for education.
So, Jim, I want to ask you, though, this. Responses that you've had. We talked pre-show, but I mean, just tell what kind of responses have you had about since the letter? In fact, I know today something significant happened.
Well, we've gotten a few notes, and again, I'm one of 35, so I'm hoping that many of the folks who signed on to this letter have heard from perhaps folks who represent them or maybe connected to their communities. I've received a couple of notes of recognition and appreciation from local politicians. Got a call from our local Oregon Observer for some comments. Channel 27 called today to do a little piece. I believe Governor Walker is speaking at an education conference, so I'm told by Channel 27 in New Hampshire, and they wanted to speak to somebody that was a signee on this letter, and I guess just close to Channel 27, and I guess that was me. So had a chance to, again, revisit some of the main bullet points and acknowledge that this is important work that we want to engage in with our elected officials.
So is the response been positive? Any negatives? Any?
No, I haven't heard any negative. It has been affirming, but it also hasn't felt to me as though it is tilted toward action yet.
Okay, because that's where, you know, Jed and I, when we talked about this with the show, I mean, you know, the main points we were talking about issues that have been happening in classrooms, and it's not just here in Wisconsin. We can talk and look, as we were saying earlier, the issues facing public schools in America are similar across the country. How do we come back and how do we look at and how do we address that? You know, we teach in social studies civic action, the idea of writing a letter. I mean, so you've performed, and it's great. You're modeling civic behavior of a critical citizen in a democracy. The next step always is, though, is, and I've said, what are we going to do to continue moving on this? Because as you pointed out, Jim, and Karen, who's there as a not just a teacher, but an awesome teacher, has pointed out, this stirs people to say, well, I've heard from other principals saying, I would have signed that letter. You've heard from principals that wanted to sign that letter. We're hearing teachers going, holy crap, principals are standing up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's motivating.
It is. And that's what we need. We need hope. We need motivation. And we need more people moving toward action.
Okay.
Absolutely, that's all I can say about that. I mean,
yeah. Well, and there's a free concert going outside there too for everybody, so make sure that as you have tuned into Busted Pencils this evening, you're getting live street music from the downtown at the Capitol of Madison. But so the reason I bring this up, though, is because about 3 or 4 years ago in New York, a group of principals, like you guys, a group of principals on Long Island in Manhattan got together and wrote a letter that, and they're specifically, their issue was, well, what would be here is educator effectiveness, but they called in New York APPR, which was this idea that they as principals and their teachers were going to be measured significantly by students' test scores. And they pointed out in the letter that, look, we're not against accountability, we're not against this. However, the research on using this is a problem. It's going to misidentify. Now, here in 2015, you go to newyorkprinciples.org, and they're a movement. People are following them. Teachers are with them. Carol Burris, one of the founders, now has stepped up into the leadership roles of the Network for Public Education. And I know it's hard for me to say, is that what's next for the Wisconsin principals? But is it, or can it, or will it?
You know, I don't know. We all care greatly about the conditions of our local school districts, and we are, I think, civic-minded enough to see beyond our local borders and know that that in Dane County in particular, as I mentioned, we are fortunate to have support and growing districts so that we're not completely taken apart by the revenue caps. We know that passing a referendum in Oregon does little for many of our neighbors who are struggling maybe to pass a referendum, or folks outside of our area. So, you know, it is a conversation that has to happen, and I'm not exactly sure, you know, if this group of signees, if there are people that listen to this podcast who weigh in, you know, after the fact and let us know there's some energy around having conversation and educating ourselves. I mean, you know, I wasn't the principal author of this letter, and some of the attention I've received after the fact, because I sit right next to Madison and it's easy for people to get in touch with me, has forced me to really dig in a little deeper and think and to try to connect certain dots and, you know, conversation and collaboration with my peers around folks that are interested. It could be that could be something that could gain some momentum. But in and of ourselves, we need our elected officials to also join in the talk. Otherwise, we are local school boards, and our teachers and teacher unions and our administrators can be on the same page and very well intentioned, but we will struggle to get where we need.
I really hope so, Jim, because, you know, I've always thought that the principals are like the interface between the administration of the, you know, of the school, of the enterprise of education. So you're in this pivotal position. So if principals can take ownership of what it ought to mean, I think we could, you know, they could do some damage. I mean, you know, they could do some good damage.
Yeah, they could do positive work. But, you know, going to what Jim just said, and again, the wonderfulness about being at Michelangelo. And you never know who's going to walk in. And you mentioned, in fact, school board members. And we have one here. A school board member, T.J. Mertz, walks in. T.J., so you were listening to Jim.
He's only a school board.
He's an elected official. But what do you, as a school board member, does this give you hope to see principals moving, and would you encourage them to continue this?
It gives me lots of hope, because it's always administrators, both principals and superintendents, to see that the tools you're giving us aren't sufficient and we can't do the job you've given us. There's too much professional pride and too much, you know, they've been hired to do a very, very difficult job, and they don't want to admit in public that they can't do it given the revenue and other circumstances that they're placed in. And so it's very, very powerful to hear these people overcoming that professional pride and saying, really, that, you know, that we not only have professional pride, but we have a dedication to our students, and the dedication to the students is so strong that we have to tell you this isn't working, and we can't. We're good. We're very good. But we can't get work under these circumstances. And that's difficult, and that's always been, you know, I've been involved in school funding reform issues in the state for about a decade, and that's always been one of those hurdles we've had difficulty getting over with administrators, and particularly superintendents, but also principals. And to see on their own grassroots activity, 35 local people just making that leap, that's very encouraging. And so, yeah, I'm happy about that. I want to also point to something else Jim said, he said that in Dane County District, we're lucky in that we're not being completely torn apart. And we find now luck as not being completely torn apart. And that's a very, very sad situation we're in. I think Jim also alluded to is that what we want to be talking about is teaching and learning. And, you know, one of our former school board members here, someone who a lot of people here know and respect, is Marge Passman. At one point she said, we've given up on dreaming. We're so busy fighting the cuts and fighting the mandates and fighting and all the other things that have come in our way that we've given up on dreaming, and we've given up on working to improve the education and lives of our students. And we haven't given up on that, but it's so hard to get to that part of the work. Taking that away, and instead of moving forward, we're trying to just stay where we are.
I like when you say that. It makes it hard. So the Wisconsin principals have taken us in a direction, a school board member, a teacher, faculty of ed at a college. It's a hopeful thing to see more grassroots efforts, because we're saying, you know, it's not just the how do we do with less. It's about starting to say, wait, what's the most important job of our communities, the United States, the country? We've got to step this conversation up to quit talking about how will we do it with less, how badly we're doing it, and all this, and start saying, wait a minute, it's time to talk about doing it how we should be. Let's do it the best. And so I want to see that movement, Jim, coming from the Wisconsin principals. If you're listening to the podcast right now, I want to make sure that you get a chance to take a look at and go to the Washington Post and look at the Wisconsin principals' signatures, see who's there, call them, let them know. And if you're a Wisconsin principal out there right now listening, Jim wants to hear from you, because we want to send a second letter. We want to send a letter because there, as we said, we know there, this was just 35 high school principals. I've run into at least 6 elementary school principals that said, I'll sign it. I want to sign it. So let's keep this. What do you think, Karen? Should we keep this going?
We should definitely keep this going.
Give Jim some words of encouragement.
Jim, it's up to you to keep this going.
Wonderful. But it is, I think all of our educators and you know, that I have been in contact with in both of the districts that I've spent, you know, my career in are unbelievably dedicated and committed to serving the best possible way. And I believe that there's a great deal in us and a commitment to doing things the very best way. And I think there's a lot of done. We need some autonomy and we need to get that working.
Is that with lost positions now of educators who are having student contact. And so when I'm looking at cuts, I used to see just numbers. Now I'm seeing faces. Now I'm seeing students who are served. But education has been suffering a lot. I've seen principals making very difficult decisions that I would not want to have to make about who's staying and who's going.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's it. I mean, when we start talking about those types of cuts, those are mortal thrusts that can actually devastate schools and communities and do the damage. So, but Jim Pliner, principal, Oregon High School, Wisconsin, one of the Wisconsin principals. You know, it's like a historic thing. You're one of the original signature. Jim Pliner of the Wisconsin principals. I do, though, wish you guys luck. And if you're out there listening, I want to see more people grabbing hold of this. But, Jim, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Tim.
Jed.
It's tea time.
It's almost tea time because we've got one more little segment of the show.
No, I mean, it's tea time. Tool of the week.
Oh, it's – man, I'm not too quick. I'm not very quick. But you're right. Tool of the week, okay? Ta-da, there's another sound effect. Shift into that.
Wow.
You're amazed by my ability to make sound effects, aren't you? Right? Hey, we always end Busted Pencils with a tribute to that person out there during the week that has made the greatest contribution of stupidness to education. Okay, and we call that person the tool of the week. Okay? This week, okay, Michael J. Petrilli of the Fordham Foundation. For those people that have been following the education wars, the war on public education, you will obviously know that this name is somebody who's been aligned with do more with less. You can test more. You can measure everything. And if you continue just doing it more and harder, you'll get it there. He's now angry, he announced this week. You know,
that's a shame.
Yeah, it's just, and he's angry at Arnie Duncan. Okay.
Well, so
now you're saying, like, well, why is he our tool of the week? Yeah. Well, listen, he's mad at Arnie Duncan because, at least according to Mr. Petrilli, Arnie Duncan ruined teacher effectiveness, value added measurements, because he was too over the top with pushing them down the people's throat. Okay. Now, some people said, look, it sounds like Petrilli might be changing his mind. I don't see that as changing your mind on bad policy.
He's basically saying he hasn't sold it.
Yeah.
Right?
He's not upset because he's awoke in the morning and went, wow.
This is a bad idea.
This is a bad idea. He woke up in the morning and went, whoa, our idea got submerged by somebody over the top pushing it the wrong way. So there's no change of heart here.
Right. It's not. He's not doing a Dine Ravitch.
And that's what we want to say. And I wrote a piece this week where she's saying, like, she congratulated Mike for changing his mind on this thing. I think she was giving him too much credit because
too
I don't
nice.
Very too nice because what I see in this is a guy who's simply disappointed that his little tool, value added measures, got ruined by an overzealous Arnie Duncan. That's not changing your mind and deciding that, holy crap, that's a bad idea. That's just being upset that you didn't get your way. And you know what? I have to say, thank goodness he didn't get his way. So you know what, though? Maybe this is a happy tool of the week. So Mr. Michael Petrilli of the Fordham Foundation, you are our tool of the week. And I just want to make sure that you go to BustedPencils.com to sign up for trending news. You want to go to MX2 Media if you want to look at this show for syndication. Follow me on Twitter at Slecker. Follow the show at Busted Pencils. And Jedro, just give me a second to get back to the studio because, as like any male specimen, I have a tough time doing two things at once. What do we say to people, Jed, about when we leave this show? Make sure that you
keep on busting those pencils.